Would y'all stand with us as we worship this morning? before you're seated, take a moment to greet each other. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see them.
Good morning. You can go ahead and be seated. As long as you all slow down, I look taller. How is everybody this morning? Great. Okay. They're awake. How about over here? You all awake? Yep. All right. Everybody had their coffee yet? Ready to go? Well, great. We got a lot of announcements here I want to bring attention this morning. My name is Randy Kegley, and I'm going to share with you. The youth will not meet this evening, and then summer life groups are starting up. And what I'd like you to do, as you picked up the announcement this morning, with some of the life groups there, explains a little bit about them. Read those and see if you can find something that fits into your life, fits into your schedule, and something you might want to be a part of, and enjoy that. Life groups is a part, since we have two services, there are people who go to church here that come to the early service you guys may not know, and vice versa. Life groups is the chance to get together in smaller groups, study, get to know each other, and be a part of the family and the body of Christ here at Cornerstone. Today at 5 p.m. is Praising by the River in Freeze. This is a great festival and a great event. We'd like for you to get together with us over there. There's somebody who's going to be there. Some of them aren't in church this morning because they're helping prepare and things of that sort. This is going to be a great time over there. They've got a band shelter. Just go to Freeze and ask anybody. Stop them on the street. They can tell you where to go. And this coming Wednesday is our first Wednesday service here. And first Wednesdays are a little smaller. It's a little closer-knit group. And we get together, and we're working on family life right now at the moment. So I'd like for you to think about coming to that. We have communion afterwards, and we've been trying to get work on different ways to get stronger, how to read your Bible, and family life. So this week we're going to focus on marriage. So if you have a good marriage, we'd like for you to come and share with us that. If you have a bad marriage, we'd like for you to come and be quiet. And we'll work on everything together, okay? Next Sunday is our 10th anniversary of Cornerstone. Cornerstone's been around for 10 years, and it's going to be over in Phelps Park, and there's only going to be the one service. We're going to bring everybody together, and it's at 10 a.m. So if you come here at 11 o'clock, you probably have one of the most quiet services you've ever had. It is going to be at Phelps Park at 10 a.m., and after that, we're going to have a potluck, brown bag type lunch and stuff like that. If you want to bring your own lunch or bring potluck, you can do that, or a bucket of chicken or whatever you may want to do that. We'd like to encourage everybody to start getting fired up for our Servolution Day. That's a day that we're going to gather together here at church on a Saturday. We have a list of projects we want to do out in the community and help everybody. And when we go out in Christ's name and do this together as Cornerstone and as disciples of Jesus and help the community and everything. So be thinking about that and mark that on your schedule. Also, we have Church League softball tomorrow night. We play at 7. And I tried to recruit some of the older guys to come out and play with us because, you know, for several years I've been the oldest guy in the league. And they kind of pick on me a little bit. About 3 years ago, I was in the outfield and I took a running dive for a ball. And I hit so hard it knocked the breath out of me. So I rolled over on my back and I'm trying to catch my breath, and the guy beside of me came over and started doing chest compressions on me. I don't really think he knew what he was doing because he was using his foot. And he was wearing cleats. But I appreciate the effort there. But we do play at 7 o'clock. It's a men's church league, but women are allowed to play. So if you'd like to come out, we have a good time. If you want to just come out and watch, we have a good time watching because there's some funny things happen. I think it was last week, wasn't it, Galen, that I hit a ball to third base and it was too hot to handle. In other words, it barely got there. And he threw it to first base and it was a bad throw, and the first baseman stretches for it and he falls down. And the ball dribbles off out there. I stopped. I touched first base, helped him up, turned around and looked. The ball's over there. Nobody's at it. So I went ahead and stole second base. Someone told me, said they've never seen anybody hit a poor shot, go to first base, knock the first baseman down, help him up, and then steal second. So, all right, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer as we get started this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here in your house among family, friends, and other Christians. I pray that the message this morning may come and apply to each one of our lives. that we gather something from it, we put it in our hearts and in our minds, and we go here and leave a better person. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I want to invite all of you again to the Thing of Freeze. Is it 5 o'clock this afternoon? Is that right? At 5 o'clock. And I'm a little biased because I grew up in Freeze, but that's one of the most beautiful places in the world. You know, right there on the river, the mountains in the background. There's a little stage right there at the river. If you know where the caboose is in Freeze, it's kind of next to the caboose. But anyway, come and join us. Bring your chair. Bring a lawn chair. And come ready to eat because we got free food. That's worth the trip to Freeze. It's free food, right? Anyway, would you stand with us as we continue to worship? We're going to sing Open Up the Heavens. Let's hear you sing with us.
Oh,
Message today, that it would pierce our hearts and pierce our souls, bring us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning again. Anybody have anything they want to talk about this morning? Well, good. I've got a few things. We're in the series Small Things, Big Difference, Learning How to Change. What if that small thing is you? What if the small thing being you and you can make a big difference? What if you can make the big difference in your life, in someone else's life? You don't have to be exceptionally talented. You don't have to be a good teacher. You don't have to be a good speaker, or I wouldn't be up here this morning. But you got to have the willingness to follow. We do video testimonies from time to time here at Cornerstone. Some of you, down through the years, have seen people give their testimonies on video, and we have one this morning. And it's on somebody who was a small thing. He was a simple man. And he goes on to make a big difference. But in our walk of life, everybody in here right now at the moment is on that walk of life. Now, where are you at on that walk? Are you walking with Christ? Are you walking alone? Even though we're in this room with all these people, we still walk our path alone. That's kind of where Peter found himself. So what we want to do, let's just go ahead and go to the video this morning and let Peter share a little bit of his story.
Hello, I am Simon Peter. Simon is a name given to me by my parents, and Peter was the name given to me by Jesus. When Jesus first gave me this name, I didn't fully understand what it meant and why he chose that name. As the years passed on and we traveled together and became closely related in a relationship, I then began to understand Peter meant the rock. I wasn't quite sure why he was calling me that, but I did learn later on. Let me tell you my story. Like I said, I'm Simon Peter. I'm a simple fisherman. My brother and I, Andrew, we used to fish on a boat, and that was our family business. Being a fisherman is tough work. I mean, it's hard work. You're pulling in the nets. They're wet. They're heavy. I mean, it's very tough business to be into. You're around people who are sweating all day long, and everybody smells like sweat and fish, and it's a tough business. There's nothing special about me. I was just a simple fisherman doing what I need to make a living. One day this man appeared up on the shore as we were bringing the boats in. Now, I had heard a little bit about him. His name was Jesus. He was from Galilee, and some said he was a great teacher. He come over to the boat. Andrew and I were there, and he looks at us. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men? I wasn't quite sure what that was, and I can't explain to you the feeling that I had, but I knew I needed to follow this man. So I left the boat. My brother and Andrew and I, we left everything we had, and we followed this man, Jesus. As we went down the shore a little bit, there was two other gentlemen, James and John. They were with their father. He made the same request to them, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They too left their family business and their father and came and followed Jesus. Now, can you imagine just leaving from work, going off and following this man that you've just met, leaving everything behind? Is this something you think you could do? Well, the feeling that was deep down in my heart said it's the right thing. I knew without question this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It didn't take long before we realized some of the things that we were going to be witnessing. I mean, we witnessed miracle healings. People who had been sick for years. Some of them had been sick for life. We've seen leprosy cured. Now, leprosy during our time was a horrible, horrible disease that struck people. There were boils all over their skin and on their face. They were oozing. They were open. It was a horrible sight, and you were just felt miserable if you had leprosy. Usually those who had leprosy were sent off to be in a colony by themselves or to be in a section of the country or the town or city, to be by themselves. He made the lame to walk. There were some people who had never walked in their life. They were born crippled, and they were lame from that time. And he would just tell them sometimes, "Pick up your mat and follow me." And they would do so. They could walk from that time forward. He drove evil spirits out of people. I mean, it was amazing. There was this one man who had so many evil spirits in him that when Jesus asked them to come out and to flee and to leave this boy alone, they actually went into the hillside, into a whole flock of swine was over there. That by itself was amazing. But then what happened next? None of us seen coming. The whole flock of swine went crazy and ran and dove off a cliff into the lake and were drowned. I mean, it was amazing. It was just the miracles we were seeing. News spread quickly about Jesus and about his healings and about his teachings and things. There was once he rose a man from the dead. A man named Lazarus had died and had died for several days and had been dead. And we go and Jesus merely says, "Rise and come out." And he did. He was completely whole, alive, and he dined with us that evening. One day we were along the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd had followed. I mean, there was probably 5,000 men with us, not counting the women and children. And they'd been out there with us all day long, and Jesus had been teaching them and talking to them and giving them instructions. And it was getting late, and we said, "Jesus, send the people away so they could go into town and to get something to eat because they've been here all day." And he looks at us and smiled and said, "Why don't you feed them?" We kind of looked around and said, "But Jesus, we just have a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread or something. He said, bring them to me. And he takes the fish and he takes the bread and he gives thanks and he blesses it. And he turns to us and gives us baskets of fish and baskets of bread. And as we took them out to the crowd, and remember there's about 5,000 men and more people all together. Each time someone would take fish and someone would take bread, the basket never emptied. I mean, it never seemed to get lower. And we went through, and after we had fed everybody and everybody had eaten all they could, we had baskets of food left over. And we had fed 5,000 more people. And what was so miraculous about that is he did it one other time when there was about 4,000 people. I mean, it's just amazing at the miracles that we were able to witness. One time we was along the sea, and he had just finished teaching all the people, and we had just fed them, and he told us to go on ahead and get in a boat and go out into the sea. And he said he would catch up with us later. Well, we looked around and we didn't see another boat, but we thought maybe he knew something we didn't know. So we went on out into the sea there, and we were a long ways from the shore, and a kind of a storm came up. The wind was blowing and the boat was tossing around, and someone says, look. And as we looked out, we seen something above the water. Well, actually kind of on the water, and it was coming towards us. I mean, we were scared to death. We didn't know what this was. And someone looked closer and they said, is that Jesus? And I got at the end of the boat and I looked out and I said, Lord, is that you? He said, it is I. I still wasn't quite sure because it appeared that he was walking on the water. And I said, Lord, if it is truly you, speak to me and I will come to you. And he outstretched his hand and he says, Peter, come to me. And I got out of the boat, onto the water, and it was as firm as ground. And I started walking towards Jesus. And I was looking right at him. And I mean, I was just, could not believe what was happening. But as walking out through there, the wind was blowing and the water was kind of slapping up against my legs. And I felt the sea mist. And I got scared that, you know, I can't be walking in water. There's no way. And as I started to look down and look around at the waves and the water and everything, I was just instantly filled with fear, and I began to sink. And then when I sink, I began to panic. I looked back at Jesus and said, Lord. And at that time, he had gotten close to me, and he reached out his hand, and I reached up, and I rose back on top of the water, and he just said, ye have little faith. And I learned then that I have to keep my focus. I have to keep my attention on Jesus. Jesus took some of us to the garden with him when he was going to pray. While he was there, he went on up ahead of us, and those the rest of us was here. And Jesus began to be transformed. I mean, he glowed. I mean, it was such a bright color white that we couldn't hardly stand to look. And as we looked and we were kind of shading our eyes, he wasn't by himself. There was two other men there. And we don't know exactly who it was, if it was Moses, if it was Elijah, or exactly who it was. But, I mean, it was so bright we couldn't stand to look. And we asked Jesus, is it good for us to be here? Should we not cover our eyes? Should we not build a temple? And when we hollered this out, a cloud came in and covered them. And we all shaded our eyes and looked away. And in a few moments later, we looked up. And there was Jesus standing there by himself. So, I'm telling you, there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that's written about in the laws of Moses and the prophets from a long time. Jesus is the Son of God.
Peter, before, did you think he would be better looking? I did. He's kind of goofy, really, but you know, Peter was a simple fisherman. And he left everything to follow Jesus. Now, ask yourself this question. Are you willing to do that? Someone comes to your work and says, come on, follow me. Would you leave work, leave your family, leave your house, your car, your four-wheeler, your jet ski, your lawnmower? Are you willing to leave all of that and follow somebody? Most of us are going to say no. Well, what Jesus is asking us to do, he just wants us to follow him. We can stay here, but we may have to change our lives. We may not be living and following the right path right now. We have a tendency to go off path. We like to follow our own path. Some people say something about, I like to march to the beat of a different drummer. But we need to follow Jesus and his path. No wonder why I decided to talk about Peter today. Well, Peter is a very simple person. And he comes to know Christ and he follows him. And then some things happen to Peter. And he changes. He finds himself not on that path anymore. He actually finds himself in denial. And then he gets back on the path. And that's we'll discuss that further in a few moments. There were 37 miracles about Jesus written in the New Testament. And some of the writers even went on to say that there was more miracles than they could even list. So there's only 37 that's recorded, but he recorded many miracles. Now, a lot of times, I mean, if you've seen one miracle, wouldn't that be enough? I mean, just one. If you knew someone who had been crippled for years or their entire life, or someone who was blind, and that was restored, I think that would be enough for me. I wouldn't mind eating some of that holy fish, too. I mean, what is your favorite miracle out of those 37? There's a lot of them. But I just think that the feeding of 5,000 people has got to be one of my most amazing. I would like to pass that out in those baskets. Every time someone took one out, I just like to see if I can see what happens, you know. But it never got empty. But yet, there was a lot of people who were seeing these miracles and they still weren't convinced. Let's look at the scripture here, John 10, verses 24 through 36. The Jews who were gathered around him saying, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do is in my Father's name, testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. For no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you wish to stone me? We are not going to stone you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man and claim to be God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I have said you are gods, and if you are called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be set aside. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Then why do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's son. Kind of told it like it was, didn't he? He had performed these miracles through God. He was able to do these miracles because of God. And yet they were able to still find fault and even threaten to stone him. Now, on the announcement sheet you got, there's three questions that we're going to be answering today. Now, a lot of times, Mike will give you the answer of the filling in blank, but we're going to do something a little bit different today. I need you to fill in the blank. because the answer is your answer. Let's look at the first question here. Am I blank enough to follow Jesus? Now, before you fill it in, let's think about this. Where are you at on your walk with Christ? Are you on the right path, the wrong path? Are you left, right? Are you doing your own thing? Maybe you're not even on a path. Maybe you're one of those people walking alone. Let's look at some words that could be used to fill in there. Am I good enough to follow Jesus? Am I strong enough to follow Jesus? Am I willing to follow Jesus? Am I worthy enough to follow Jesus? Am I courageous enough to follow Jesus? See, for some of you, to follow Jesus, you may have to change your life a whole lot. You may be doing a whole lot of things that is not allowed on this walk. That takes courage. That takes courage to change your life that much to make this walk. A lot of us may not feel worthy. You all don't know everything I've done. I do. I don't feel worthy sometimes. I don't know everything you've done. We don't have time for you to come forward right now with all that, but there's sometimes things that you don't, and things that we have done that we don't feel worthy. So those are some questions. I want you to write that down, and I want your answer on there. We have another video. Let's let Peter continue his story.
Things began to change a little for us. The officials were always watching and plotting to seize Jesus. He spoke to us in parables a whole lot because sometimes in the parables he was talking about the Pharisees and the officials, and instead of angering them by calling them out direct, the parables kind of implied that they were the so-called villains or the misguided in the parables. Along the way, he did teach us many lessons, though. Sometimes when we were with people, the lessons weren't always clear, but sometimes when we were alone, he would explain them a little closer for us. It came time for the celebration of Passover, and we went into the city. Jesus told us that, go into the city, and you'll see a man carrying a jar. Follow this man, and whatever house he enters into, go in and ask the owner of the house, where is the room for the master? And he will show us a room. And here again, we go, and there it was, exactly as he told us. So we go in and we have the festive meal of the Passover with Jesus. And while we were there, we had all traveled quite a bit. And Jesus got up from the table and pulled off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around him. And he began to wash our feet. That was a traditional custom that usually the owner of the house or the master of the house would have his slaves or the lower position people to do. And we were so tired and we were so busy and so anxious for the Passover, we had forgotten this. And Jesus went around and started to wash all of the disciples' feet. And when he came to me, I said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And he said, but unless I wash your feet, you cannot be with me. So I allowed him to wash my feet. And I told him, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head and everything as well. And he goes around the whole room and washed the feet. And then he started talking about betrayal. Someone was going to betray him. And then he took the bread, and he broke it in half, and he blessed it, and he gave it to us and told us, this is my body that I will sacrifice for you. And then he took a cup of wine, and he passed it around and said, this is my blood, which I will shed for all. We weren't really sure what was going on at the time. But, I mean, you're with Jesus, and he's full of miracles, and so you just kind of go along with things. And we thought, well, this is something that's going to happen in the distant future. This, you know, it was unbelievable. It was moving. And he got up and he started to walk away. And I asked him, I said, Jesus, where are you going? He said, where I am going, you cannot follow me. I said, but Lord, I will follow you anywhere. And he said, would you? Would you follow me anywhere? I tell you, before the cock crows twice, Peter, you will deny me three times. And he turns and walks away. And I'm hurt. I love this man. There's no way this is going to happen. Later on that evening, we went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went up and prayed, and he asked us to watch for him. Well, we were tired. It had been a long day, and we fell asleep. And he comes back, and he says, "Can you not stay awake for an hour? Stay awake. Watch for me." And he goes back, and he prays again, and he comes back, and we had fallen asleep again. I mean, this even happened a third time. I mean, it was really quite embarrassing. But when he came back the third time, he says, "Look, the time is upon us." And as we turned and looked, there were a crowd with soldiers. And one of our own, Judas, was with them. And he comes up, and he kisses Jesus and calls him Rabbi. And he walks away. And that's when the soldiers jumped in to grab and to seize Jesus. Well, I'm kind of a man of action. I jumped up, I grabbed the sword, I swung it around, and I cut off the ear of one of the slaves. And Jesus hollered, "Stop, don't. Am I a thief? Why do you come at me at night in the cover of darkness to seize me?" And he goes over to the man who had I cut his ear off, and he touches his ear, and it becomes whole. And then they take him away. How can they take Jesus away? We were convinced he was the Messiah. He's the one who's going to lead us to victory. I mean, the Jews will rise. I mean, how can this happen? I must have been wrong about him. So I followed along. I was kind of in the shadows. I was kind of hiding, because I was afraid for my life. As I was going along and I go into the city there, one of the women come up. And she says, "You're a Galilean, aren't you? Weren't you with Jesus? Weren't you one of them?" And I said, no, you're mistaken." And one of the others said, "Yes, I think I've seen you." I said, "No, you did not." As the evening drew on, they had built a fire in the courtyard. And I was cold. And I got a little closer to the fire to warm myself. And one of the men there turned to me and said, you're one of his, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I am not." And I swore and I cussed. And that's when I heard the cock crow. The second time, this is where I realized the man Jesus, my friend, the man who had given me the nickname Peter for the rock, I had denied him. I had turned my back on him. And he knew it. And he told me I would. And that's when I remembered that he still loved me.
Wow. Peter failed Jesus pretty good, didn't he? Firsthand, he had witnessed all these miracles. He had walked with him. He had eaten with him. He had learned from him. And then everything was shooken. Jesus was taken from him. That was his light. Let's look at another piece of scripture here, John 11:9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight will not stumble. For they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." That's what happened with Peter. Peter was relying on Jesus as his light. And when Jesus was taken away, he was stumbled. His faith and his belief had been shaken to the point to where he was running and hiding in the shadows, and he was denying he even knew Christ and doing things he was ashamed of. Much like it was when he was walking on the water. As long as he kept his focus on Jesus, as long as he kept his sight on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But he lost sight and he sunk. Jesus was taken away from him, so he stumbled again. Well, let me ask you, have you lost your light? Do you have a light? Do you want a light? Have you lost your focus? Do you have a focus? The reason why I ask that, a lot of us may have a focus that's different. We may be trying to focus on getting a better job. We may have a focus on trying to get a nicer house or a nicer car. Or we try to belong to the country club, or we need better golf clubs, or just whatever it may be. We may have our focus. But is that the right focus? Is that where we need to be focused? For some of you, you may be just out there, bobbing along in life. Do you have focus? Do you want to focus? For some of you, have you lost sight of Jesus? Maybe you've started the path. Maybe you're like Peter. You was on the path and now you've lost focus. And as you're sitting here, you're asking yourself, am I where I want to be? Have I lost my focus? Have I lost my light? Am I no longer looking to Jesus for every decision? Do you want to see Jesus in your life? You may be at a point to where you don't want Jesus in your life, because you may not feel worthy of having him in your life. And for some of you, are you ready to see Jesus? See him working in your life? Because you know, to invite him in your life, there's going to have to be some changes. You may have to give up some things. But I can't even explain to you all the things you're going to gain once you do make that choice. Let's look at the next question here. And I need you to fill that in with your answer. Have I, fill in the blank, in my walk with Jesus? Here's some words I want you to consider. Have I succeeded in my walk with Jesus? Have I failed in my walk with Jesus? Have I grown in my walk with Jesus? Have I floundered? Have I improved? Have I changed? Or maybe have I started my walk with Jesus? Think about that and put down your answer. You may not have started that walk. You may have started that walk and you've gotten lost. You may be on the walk and, you know, you really haven't got off the path, but you're just not really trying to follow anymore. I mean, you don't have to be a bad person. You don't have to go a long ways off the path, just as long as you're off the path. Let's hear what happens with Peter here. Let's go on to the next part of his testimony.
What now? Jesus has been tried, crucified. He rose from the dead. He came back and visited us for a short time. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. I've always been a fisherman, except for the 3 years that I've been following Jesus. I turned to some of the others and said, I'm going fishing. Some of those went with me. So we go back to the sea. We go fishing again. We fished all night and we caught nothing. The next morning, as the sun was beginning to come up, we're bringing it in to shore, and there's a man standing on shore, and he calls out to us and asks us, "How was the catch last night?" And we called out, we'd caught nothing. He says, "Cast your nets over on the right-hand side of the boat." What difference does that make? We've been fishing all night on both sides of the boat. But why not? We throw the nets on the right-hand side of the boat. And suddenly they were filled. They were filled with so many fish that we could not even hardly pull it in. I can't believe that the nets didn't break. There were so many large fish there. And someone said, "Is that you, Lord?" And I looked. And instantly I jumped in the water and swam ashore. And it was Jesus. He was back with us. And he says, "Bring some of the fish and we'll have breakfast together." And after we'd finished eating, Jesus looked over at me and said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord. You know I love you with all my heart." And I kind of felt like he might be picking on me a little bit because of the denial. I mean, we'd never spoke of it, but he had told me about it, and then I did exactly that. He said, "Well, then care for my sheep." And I said, "Yes, Lord." A few minutes later, he says, "Peter, do you truly love me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, you know I do. You know my heart." And he says, "Feed my sheep." And then a third time he asked me, "Do you truly love me?" And I was really beginning to get hurt and I was very emotional. I said, "Yes, Lord, I truly love you with all my heart." And he smiles and says, "And take care of my sheep." I wasn't really quite sure because I really hadn't seen any sheep that he had. And while he was among us, he just ascended into heaven and was gone. And we were kind of left standing looking up. Jesus has told us the great comforter would come. Here again, we're not quite sure what the great comforter is. On the day of Passover, we all came together and we were together and we were in thoughtful prayer. And then a loud noise came. I mean, it's like wind. It was just so loud. It was unbelievable loud. And we were feared for our lives. And then in the room, tongues of fire was flying around with this wind and this rushing noise. And it was almost unbearable to hear. And then these tongues of fire came down and rested upon each one in the room. And when this happened, they began to talk in tongues. And by that I mean they were speaking in a different language other than their own. Jesus had told this was going to happen. And the reason why they were speaking in tongues or speaking in different languages is so that we could go out and they could go out and share the message of Jesus to all the nations of the world and speak to them in the tongue and in the language which they could hear and understand. Now, I personally, I cannot even explain the feeling I had. I mean, I felt empowered. There was no more fear in my life. There was no more doubt in what I was supposed to do. I was a full knowledge of the message that Jesus had given us. All these little things he had told us that we had not understood, we now understand. And as we left the house, a large crowd was outside because they heard all the noise and the commotion and everything, and they thought they were drunk. And without fear, I stood up in front of them in front of the Pharisees, in front of all the others. And I said, these men are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But let me tell you what has happened. The Holy Spirit, which Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified and put to death, He has come back to life. He is with us and He has given us this Holy Spirit. And we're going to go forth and we're going to share this message with all the world and all the nations. And that's what Jesus has given us for those who believe. That's why I was given the name Peter, because that's what I dedicated the rest of my life doing, sharing the message of Jesus Christ and what He can do for you and what He can do for you today.
Wow. A little bit of a change in Him, isn't it? No more running, no more hiding, no more doubt. That's what happened when Jesus came back into His life in the Holy Spirit. Some people are filled with the Holy Spirit whenever they first accept Christ into their lives. It could be while talking to the pastor. It could be while in church. It could be at a revival. Some people are filled with the Holy Spirit whenever they're baptized. And some people are filled with the Holy Spirit when God wants you to experience it, when He puts it into you. You can be by yourself. You can be praying. You can be reading the Bible. But when God wants you and knows your heart is ready, He can fill you. And that can give you the strength. That can give you the strength like Peter. Peter did go on. He dedicated the rest of his life. He actually brought thousands of people to know Christ. In that one speech alone, he goes out into the streets and in the city, and he spoke to, and they say that over 3,000 people come to know Christ and accept Jesus that day. And he goes on from there, and he performs miracles, and he does all these things. He speaks before the Pharisees. He speaks before the government officials and things. He was actually beaten. He was thrown in prison. But he never had fear again in his life. That was gone. Christ and the Holy Spirit was in him. Now, I got to ask you a question. Are you bold enough to talk to someone about Jesus today? A family member? A friend? A co-worker? That's kind of tough, isn't it? Nobody wants to be accused of being a Bible thumper. Do we have that boldness in our heart to talk to someone? You know, right now at the moment in this room, there is someone sitting here whose heart is melting with problems, who has things that they don't want to share. They're searching for answers. They're hurting. And if they don't have Christ in their lives, they don't really have anywhere to go. They don't have no one to turn to. As a disciple, you're supposed to share that. You're supposed to help them. You're supposed to reach out. There are marital problems out there. There are family problems. There are financial problems in this room right now. And Christ is here to help us. You have to reach out to Him for answers. He's got to be a part of your decisions on everything, every decision you make in your life, whether how small or how large. A lot of us, myself included, have always felt like we're pretty smart. We can handle things. We can figure things out. And we try to go ahead. I can't even tell you the messes I've got myself into for that. Instead of, God, help me. Jesus, lead me. It's, come on, watch what I can do. He does. He watches. And then I have to go back and ask for His help. Well, if you're not bold enough to talk to someone now, maybe talk to a stranger. That's the tough one. Maybe you just see someone and you can tell that they're hurting. There's problems. That's tough. But you don't have to do it by yourself. If you're not able to do that, what's holding you back? Have you not learned enough? Have you not prayed enough? Have you not read the Bible enough? Maybe you just need to be bold enough. What do you need? Think about that. What do you need? Let's look at the third question. And I need you to answer this again. Can I fill in the blank going forward with the help of Christ in me? And before you put your answer down, let me give you some consideration. Can I change going forward with the help of Jesus Christ? Can I grow going forward? Can I be strengthened going forward? Can I redirect going forward with the help of Christ in me? Can I improve going forward? Here's one. It's tough. Can I forgive going forward with the help of Christ? Everyone in this room has been angry at somebody because they have wronged them. Could be spouse, could be family member, could be a business partner, it'd be a co-worker, but you're angry and you're holding that. And every time you see them, that anger still, it's right here, tightens up. Can you forgive them and go forward? Here's another tough one. Can I forget? So you all don't know what I've done in my life. Thank goodness. I don't know what you've done. But we all have things we're ashamed of and we don't want to share. Can I forget that going forward with the help of Christ in me? Now maybe not, maybe Christ hasn't entered into your life, so this is a possibility for you. Can I be saved going forward with the help of Christ in me? If you haven't made that decision to let Christ into your life, if you haven't got that focus, if you don't have that light, if you've not received that strength that comes from doing that, I would encourage you to come forward. We're having a baptism service next week when we have our 10th anniversary celebration in the park. If you're right there on the edge and you're thinking about, maybe I want to invite Christ in my life, come forward and let's talk about it. We'll get together with Mike when he gets back from his trip in Nicaragua, and we'll see about getting you baptized next week. But I encourage you, if you haven't made this decision, accepted Christ in your life, consider it. Look at how you've answered these three questions. Decide where it is on you're at on this walk. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come here today. We pray that this message has helped us to assess where we're at in our lives. Where are we at on our walk? We pray that you can send Jesus into our hearts and that we can find the correct path and change and enjoy life and being happy with you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand with us in worship as we close this morning?
Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where faith may fail and fear surrounds me, you never failed and you won't start now. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul
ask that you would help us to be bold in our faith. Stand for what we believe, Lord, even in the midst of troubles. Help us to trust in you and step out on the water. We pray for our missions team in Nicaragua, Lord, that souls would be reached through their outreach, that they would be blessed themselves, that they would have safe travels. These things we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you, and have a great week.